naked shamanism. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. I will take you on a journey across the universe through shamanism.
Welcome to withinsightsradio.com.
So sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
This is Iggy Garcia live, and we are broadcasting live at an undisclosed location in the universe. Okay. So today my guest is Krishna. She's a good friend of mine, and we're here to talk, and Lulu is here visiting with us. And so we're going to kind of be talking here. We're going to be sharing our thoughts, kind of sharing our ideas and things that we, you know, are thinking about. So, but I'd like to just take a moment to just kind of reflect and just kind of take a moment to just think about all the things that we should be grateful for and all the things that are in our life that, you know, we maybe didn't have last year, or maybe the things we had last year, and now we have this opportunity to create new energies and create new things. Mm-hmm. Because right now, in this pandemic and in this environment that we're in, it's forcing us to see life a little differently, to approach life in ways that we probably never thought of. We have an opportunity to create some great, great new, you know, lives. And but, you know, we also have the opportunity to stay in the same life that we have and stay in the same energies that we have. So that's where we go. So we're going to go with that. I'm going to give thanks to my ancestors for that, since I don't have my candle with me. But we will light a fictitious candle. Raise it to the universe and give thanks. We will light our sage. And there we go.
Okay, we're good.
So Krista is here with me today, and she's going to share a little bit about her life and who she is. And she probably won't get into the politics too much, because that's not where her energy resonates. And I'm okay with that, and I respect that. So with that, well, Krista, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Excited.
Yeah, so I know that you follow With Insights and Iggy Garcia Live all the time. And it's kind of one of those things that's kind of inspired you to do some of the work you're doing.
You have been an inspiration to me, but not from Insights, from your original podcast from years ago.
Oh, the ones. Those are with Insights.
I just listen to them every morning. And
and you're talking about the albums that I created.
Yes,
the motivational.
Yes, your motivationals. Yes, great. That's what really started it. But actually, I discovered you at a drum circle, and that's what started. Yeah, awesome. I found myself at the Reiki Center last year, and that's where my awakening came, and I've been on a whirlwind roller coaster ever since.
So Krista is, I call it the barefoot dancer. She likes to dance barefooted at everything. I think she's
barefoot now.
We're both barefoot right now.
I'm barefoot 24/7.
So she kind of brings that grounding energy for us when we're in circle and when we're in ceremony. And she just kind of...
Yeah, I consider my feet my sticks and Mother Earth my drum.
Awesome.
So that's how I look at it. Everybody's like, you dance. I'm like, yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
But for me, it's more of an energy thing. I've had a lot happen at your drum circles, actually. Mm-hmm. The one that we went to in October at Ash Cave was an unbelievable experience.
Tell me about it.
Oh,
I'd like to know. You know, the reason I'm going to ask this is because when you're facilitating, it's a whole different game.
Yeah.
So when somebody's actually participated in it, you don't get to hear all the stories and the magical stuff that happened.
It actually started, we had a drum circle that Saturday at the Reiki Center downstairs.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I resonate with Mother Earth like no tomorrow. And you had, there's a song, I don't recall which one. And when it was done, I literally could not pick my feet up off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
They were stuck to the floor. And I made a joke. I said, hey, has anybody got a pancake turner out there? And you were like, pancakes? Who mentioned pancakes?
Yeah.
And it's like, nobody understood. And I was like, I can't pick my feet up.
Yeah.
And I kind of freaked out a little bit. But before long, she let them go. And I literally was drawn straight to the blanket in front of the drum.
Nice.
And I lay down, and it was like, it wasn't for me, it was for her. It was for Mother Earth. All the energy that I had drawn in from all the drummers and everything that had happened that day went straight down to her. And it was like an unbelievable experience. So go to Ash Cave the next day, and this was October, which was my first time there. And it's like, I'm hanging, and all of a sudden I'm drawn to a certain drummer, and I've got you on one side and the drummer on the other, and the energy's flowing between the two, and it's the same song.
Mm-hmm.
From the day before.
Nice.
And all of a sudden, there I am again, can't pick my feet up off the ground. They're stuck, and I'm like, and I got drawn once again, only this time I'm not laying down in the sand. So I sat down in front of the drum, and buried my hands just as deep as they would go. Mm-hmm. And before long, I'm just swaying. The drums are going. And you don't go slow when I sit in front of you, which is a good thing. But what ended up happening was, before long, I felt like the drummers were like literally inches from me. Mm-hmm. Instead of yards away from me.
Yeah.
And then they grew in number. Wow. There were more and more and more. And before it was done, I mean, there were probably, by the time I got there, maybe 100 drummers left because we got there midday. Mm-hmm. There were hundreds. So all of the native drummers, everything, everybody was there. And it was like beyond anything I've ever felt. And it happens every time since.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It is. It is.
Yeah, I mean, if you've never been to one of the events that we host, Ash Cave or Gathering of Thousand, I don't know what's going to happen this year with a Gathering of Thousand Drummers, folks. I really don't know. The Metro Parks has been kind of funny, and it's possible that might can't cancel. But here's an update that I have not told anybody yet. It's going to happen very soon. And so those of you who are willing and daring and want to step out of your
isolation rooms
and your quarantine spaces, we're actually putting together a drum circle with Judy Moore. Those of you who don't know Judy Moore, she actually has a dog park in Delaware. So the park is closing. For most of you who don't know that, it's going to be a going away drum circle party to thank Judy for all the work that she did.
Yeah. And I remember when that park opened.
So we're going to be doing that at her space. We're going to be doing a drumming there and a bonfire and stuff. So
you count me in. I will be there with bells on, barefoot, the whole nine.
So this is Lulu saying
hi. Hi, Lulu.
You know, she'd come in and say hi. But anyhow, we're moving to that direction. And this is going to happen sooner than later. Okay.
Great.
So those of you who are interested in doing that and being part of that, let me know. Communicate. Talk with me. We will be asking for donations because we actually want to put a porta potty there because we're thinking that people might be able to camp out and do this.
Oh, that would
be 11
awesome.
Acres. She has three different fire bonfire spaces, and she has a pond. So if you want to come,
it's a beautiful space. It is.
So it was heartbreaking to hear the story and why she had to close it down, but you know, she brought a lot to the community, brought a lot to the space. She's actually looking for somebody to buy it if someone's interested in buying that space. It's 11 acres, and, you know, it's listed. And the thing about it is, you know, she was hoping that somebody would pick up the mantle. That hasn't happened. But, you know, it's never too late.
It's not done yet. You never know.
I'm putting that out there. I'm letting you know what's happening. Okay, if we have to play six feet of separation between drummers, that's fine.
We'll do it. Yeah.
Okay, but, you know, we can't live in that fear. We can't be in that fear base anymore.
I won't.
That old energy has to go away for us to go. But.
Well, and then on my side of the fence, once everyone's comfortable, I'm throwing the biggest gathering that I've ever thrown in my life. Mm-hmm. I am always known for throwing parties, and I just feel the need. And it's more because so many of us have connected through social media, and we've never met.
This is true.
I now have friends all over the country that I've never met. And I have friends that I've met through social media, and it's like drum circles have brought us together, shows, but just connecting. I have people reach out to me from I don't know from where, and they just come, and I'm like, okay.
Ooh, hey.
But I want to have, it's not just about a drum circle. It's about bringing everybody in the holistic community, but not just that, everybody together. There's so many of us that we've met, we haven't seen, we've never hung out. You know, I just feel like we just need that time, that space, and it'll be big. It'll be big. It'll be fun.
So you heard it here.
Once we get to go ahead with the parks and I can find the space, I'll put the word out. And then what I want is everyone else knows to put the word out too and invite, because I want to have food. I want to have an all-day shindig, whatever, you know, whatever happens. Games, fun, kids, dogs, everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's just needs to happen after all of this. Like I said, we've made so many connections with so many people.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable that my circle has grown, and I'm like, I haven't met half of them.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I have like over 5,000 people on my list. I think I only know maybe have a quarter of a
handful of all of that. Yeah.
But you know, they're out there.
Oh, yeah.
To connect.
Well, the cool thing now is I met people through social media that are throughout the country, and I'm like, hey, when this is all over, I'm making a road trip. Mm-hmm. I had already planned on heading out west at some point. Mm-hmm. The Navajo Nation calls to me. It's called to my heart for months now. I have a friend out there, but now I have friends in Colorado.
Nice.
They're like, come, come. And I'm like, I'll be there. Yeah. And as soon as the world says it's okay and safe for me to travel mm-hmm. and do things, I'm on my way.
Yeah.
So.
Good. Awesome. So, you know, there's nothing new. Everybody knows what's going on in the world. So it's not a big surprise. No. It's nothing. Nothing that we don't already know that we're in this situation. And
nothing's changed.
Yeah, and we're going through these cycles right now in the universe. We're going through these cycles in our own personal minds, in our personal spirits.
So
I want to ask you, since you're kind of fairly new, not exactly new, you're just an old soul that just hasn't, is coming back into the game.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
That's the way I look at you sometimes. Yes. You're like an old soul coming back into the game that you used to be part of.
I'm unlocking the unlocking the knowledge slowly, yes.
So now, how do you feel about everything that's going on? What's your take? I know that you are pretty, you have a different view of life and you see things differently because you've done a lot of change in your life.
Yeah. It's interesting for me is that I don't watch the news. Mm-hmm. I don't pay attention to a lot of stuff. In fact, most of what I get comes either through you or a few other people on Facebook. I have a friend in mm-hmm. South Korea that has been there 18 years. And so he'll post things and it's like, seeing our world from their point of view sometimes is kind of funny, mm-hmm. but also seeing what's happening there because South Korea is day one just like we were. And so I watch them open their doors and watch them start doing things like we're starting here. Well, their numbers were next to nothing. No new cases, no new deaths, no new anything when they finally opened their doors.
Yeah.
And it's already happened. Yeah. They're already having issues because they opened things that they probably shouldn't have. Bars, clubs, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So they're already starting to see numbers come back. We're not even close to that.
Yeah.
That's what scares me.
And we have a bigger population.
Yeah. But what scares me is our numbers aren't... Well, first off, I don't even know what our numbers are.
The last time I looked, it was around 80,000.
But I'm more curious as to not how many we've lost or how many have been ill because I don't trust those numbers in mm-hmm. respect because of padding or where they're getting their mm-hmm. information from. I want to know how many new cases do we have.
Yeah, it's really...
That's what I don't know.
It's really hard to say. It's really hard to tell.
You know?
And you know, because there's so many. They can't even test you.
I know.
So they can't really say, hey, you know, we have some...
You know, that was the difference when I followed South Korea is the testing that was available to them. They gave every person in South Korea the masks and, mm-hmm. and things. They provided for them. They have mobile testing sites everywhere.
Yeah.
And here it's like, I don't even know if they exist.
I know they do exist, but I'm not sure. I think it's for a selected group of people.
Yeah.
So if you're healthy, per se, they won't test
right,
you.
Right.
They'll test somebody who's high risk, elderly.
But that also can mean that somebody who's healthy can be carrying it, and we don't even know.
Yeah, there's a lot we don't know.
You know?
There's a lot of factors here, folks, that we don't know.
And that's the thing that worries me the most is that, you know, I talk with some of our friends in the community, and a lot of us feel the same way. It's like, it's not that we don't want to get back to normal, but the reason to get back to normal mm-hmm. is money.
Yeah.
And that's the wrong reason to get back to normal. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily believe in the whole quarantine as much.
Not because she's sitting in my living room.
But what I do believe in is the health scare and the concerns. But we haven't taken care of the people we needed to. Look at people in nursing homes.
Yeah.
The ones that are at the highest risks, nobody's done anything to help them.
Yeah. I mean, some nursing homes have done really well and then some of them haven't. And there's probably reasons for that. You know, every case per case, you would find out, you know,
but
why that
space.
Would be.
Space, you know, they don't have the space to put people 6 feet apart, mm-hmm. you know. But, that's the thing that scares me the most is that it's just,
it makes you think how many people there are on this planet and how many of us there are that we can't even.
We can't even fathom.
We can't fathom because we can't even get to everybody because there's just so many of us.
Yeah.
And those numbers reflect that, you know, because you could be contaminated. We could be carriers. We don't even know, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I may have had it. You may have had it. You didn't even know.
Well, the other thing is, they talk about the vaccine and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I believe the opposite side of the fence. I'm not saying I don't believe in immunizations. Mm-hmm. That's not true.
Sure.
I believe more in my own. Mm-hmm. My own ability to fight something. I saw an interesting, and you know me, I don't pay attention to articles and mm-hmm. news, but I happened to catch something just earlier today.
Okay.
And they talked about that we sanitize everything. Not since.
Yes.
But before. We had become a country of everything had to be Febreze. Everything had to be sanitized constantly. And you had on a couple weeks ago talked about how we absorb everything.
Yeah, and our skin.
And what that does. More about what that does. I said, and that's part of how I live. I believe in my own immunity more than I believe in some vaccine that somebody.
Well, this is the biggest organ we have, right? One of the biggest organs is our skin. So
it is.
You know, it's.
And it's like, I believe more in that.
You touch it, and you're getting it.
I believe, but I believe I can fight it.
Sure, absolutely.
My own immune. I would rather take my chance. I'm not at a health risk.
Yeah.
You know, I would rather take my chance and fight it myself than. Check myself in the
I don't know if you guys remember the movie Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, yes.
Remember the one scene where the guy was in the ice, in the sterile room?
Yes. Oh, yes.
And you remember? He just, everything was sterile.
I literally had to leave the theater for that one.
And then one bug came up through the drain.
Yeah.
And then another.
And then the whole place is crawling with cockroaches.
And then eventually they were inside of him. But
yeah.
But it's just interesting because I had a conversation earlier with one of my family members here about their life, how it was before.
Yeah.
You know, and then they were just telling me stories about, you know, what it was like. And in today's world, you know, I'm surprised that we're advanced, but we're not advanced at the same time. You know, we've actually.
We're technology is advanced, not the human.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly.
The human side of it is not advanced. Technology has advanced,
but humanity in the sense, we haven't really moved into a certain degree. We're very dependent. We become very dependent on things.
Yes.
I noticed that. Yeah. We've become very crutch oriented on things.
Yeah.
Oh, where's my cell phone? You know, I've seen people. I've done that. Oh, where's my phone? I forgot.
Yeah.
Like today, I forgot my phone. I drove back because I needed it because that's my communication.
Well, for me though, I can live without all of it.
Yeah.
I spent. You know, everyone else talks about. I don't know what day we're on. What quarantine day we're on?
No, I don't.
So let's say we're on day 60. Add 20 days to that for me. I left for Mexico and arrived in Mexico. For those that don't know, I spent a month down on a beautiful little island down off of Cancun. I arrived on February 23rd. Mm-hmm. I was self-quarantined. I was self-isolated, not due to the pandemic, but for other reasons since then.
Wow.
So I came home on 1 month later to the day, and I've been quarantined ever since. I've hardly been out. This is the first person I've seen since, you know. It's like, I haven't left my house. I haven't done anything. And that's by choice. But I've been doing this 20 days longer than everybody else.
Interesting.
You know, because I had a lot of internal work to do. A lot of meditation and self-discovery. And been on a journey for quite a while now. Yeah. So, yeah. And I still do it. That's for me, the quarantine's been great.
Yeah, and the quarantine's been good for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'm a mixed bag about quarantine, personally.
I don't call it isolation.
No, I mean,
it's a quarantine. It's not an isolation.
It's a mixed bag for me because I'm such an out there moving kind of person. Like, I can't sit still. Yeah. My mom used to tell me, "Eres inquieto." Inquieto means can't stand still.
Yeah.
And you know that's because of the Sagittarian in me, and I'm a Sag. You know.
Well, I'm a Capricorn. So I'm like,
are you a Capricorn?
Yes, I am. Uh-huh.
You know what's so funny? This is the first Capricorn I have ever had as a friend.
Ooh.
So you're like, you're the first Capricorn.
I'm honored.
Yeah. I don't know any other Capricorns. I mean, I'm sure people are Capricorns, but no one's ever told me.
And we're the same age too.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So isn't that neat? Yeah. That's cool. My first Capricorn. Hey.
I'm honored.
Yeah. I have all the other zodiac signs covered pretty good.
Yeah. See, I
don't know why that got me excited. I thought that was kind of funny. Mind of Iggy at play. That's a different show. But anyhow.
Yeah, so it's been interesting for me. I've done I did a lot of work prior to going to Mexico. Uh-huh. The Reiki Center has been my home. Kelly at the Reiki Center will tell you I have a tent on the roof because I live there.
Every time I'm there, she's there.
I was there.
Like, hey.
Not just for individual sessions for myself, but for groups. And in the beginning, it was all about me. It was my journey, what I needed to do to heal, what I needed to do to get through what I needed to get through. But then it became about everybody else. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, it was like the healer and me started to call.
Yeah.
And I would be there, say class started, session started at 6. I'm there at 4. And the session, I could be done at 6:15 and it's 8, 9 o'clock and I'm still there. And people are like, why are you still here? Why are you here so much? I'm not here for me. I'm here for whoever needs me. Mm-hmm. There's always somebody that needs to talk to me, always somebody that needs to hear a story, always somebody that needs something that I have.
And you like being there.
I mean, do.
And
well,
I mean, where else would you want to spend
that
your time?
That was the other thing, too. I didn't have a space.
And then they go, hey, why are you here? I'll go, because I love being here.
Yeah, I became kind of a fixture. I kind of became a fixture. That's funny. So, yeah. But I've moved beyond that now, so it's going to be interesting. They reopened their doors today to individuals, and they're hoping to start classes if everything goes June 1st. But for me, it's like I'm grown beyond that now. Mm-hmm. So I'm interesting to see where my path's going to lead. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
I believe it's going to lead to some really good things. I've already seen some things that you've been doing and, you know, and just, you know, she shares what she feels.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I pick up.
Yeah. I'm a storyteller. I love to share.
If you don't like
journeys.
It, well, you know.
Yeah, I am sorry, like that. You know?
It's kind of like.
I tell people, as I said, I'm on a roller coaster. And I love my roller coaster. Mm-hmm. I don't care how high it goes. I don't care how low it goes. I don't care about how fast the turns, the twists. I love it.
Yeah.
And anybody who wants to ride my roller coaster can ride it with me.
There you go.
But you bring the negativity on board. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm kicking you off.
Right here? Yes.
Yeah.
Jump.
Off. You're done. You better jump when it's low to the ground or else, you know. But that's how. I mean, you can have a bad day. You can need help. You can need guidance, what have you. But one of the things I learned, I used to tell my guides at the Reiki Center, I would always say, thank you for helping me.
Yeah.
Thank you for, and they'd look at me and like, we don't help. You heal yourself.
Right.
We're just the conduit. We guide you. And it took me until right before I left for Mexico when I saw my mentor and guide Joseph the last time I said it again. I said, thanks for helping me. He just looks at me. And I sent him a text when I got out to the car. I said, thank you for being my guide. I said, I finally understand that.
Yeah.
And that's what it took. And then when I got to Mexico, it became about healing myself. I had dealt with, as an empath, 51 years. I'm 54. I had dealt with 51 years of everybody else's stuff that I'd taken in. Mm-hmm. And that's what they helped me work through, was getting rid of everyone else's baggage.
All those old stories.
So that I could get to my own.
Yeah.
And
hello, there we are.
That's what Mexico for me was all about. Yeah. Was getting rid of my own baggage. So when I came back to Mexico from Mexico a couple months ago, I'm a whole new person. That is all gone. Yeah. I don't have any of it left. And now I can really work on the divine's plan for me.
Yeah.
You know?
And you do a lot of work with angels and stuff.
Yeah, I do.
Angel work. So if you like angel work, she's go-to person here.
I also do a lot of spirit work.
So let me ask you a question. So you do spirit work and angel work. Yeah. And so Do you channel the energy or it's just something that comes to you like right now? I mean, do they come to you like right now?
And
they
I could stop right now and have a full on conversation while we're sitting here with any archangel of my asking.
Yeah, and they would just tell you.
I can talk to spirits. My own family. I've talked to my grandparents are all in heaven. I've talked to all of them. Mm-hmm. Whatever you believe in.
Sure.
Like you always say, we what choice of word do you want to use? Mm-hmm. God, spirit, universe. Yes. I'm the same way. But what I've learned is that it's my choice.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's not theirs. So when I accept a responsibility, it is my choice to do so.
Yeah.
One of my favorite stories is the first time an archangel actually spoke to me.
Okay.
I'm in customer service my whole life. So role play for me is easy.
Okay.
And my mentor had said, you always need to ask, are they of the light? And are they here for your greatest good?
This is true.
Because there are spirits out there that aren't. So I had had someone just, I heard my name one night just, and that was it. I didn't answer because I didn't know what to say at that point.
Right.
So I'm sitting on the edge of my bed and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, prepare. Next time someone speaks to you, what are you going to say? Are you of the light? And I hear yes in my head. And I'm thinking, I'm talking to myself. Are you here for my greatest good? Yes. Well, what's the next question you'd want to ask somebody that's talking to you?
No, what would you ask?
What's your name?
Yes.
Ariel. I hit the floor. It was Archangel Ariel spoke to me for the first time. Nice. And I literally hit the floor. And somebody said, well, what did you talk about? I said, I don't know. I was in too much of a shock because I thought I was talking to myself.
Wow.
And that opened the door.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I was in my room and I got this overwhelming urge from a spirit. And I started talking to the person and there was confusion, scared, And I couldn't stop crying. And I asked, just started asking questions and come to realize this person literally had just died in a car crash.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, well, what are you, why are you here? And I'm asking them, I'm asking myself, why are you here? What are you doing at my light? And all of a sudden I have a book that I have online on my phone that's Angels and Guides, and it just gives you tidbits of information about how to work with them. And I immediately went and grabbed it, and I scrolled, I'm looking, and there's Azrael's name. Azrael is the archangel that guides you to the other side. Mm-hmm. And I immediately prayed to him, and he came and guided that spirit to the other side. Well, 5 minutes later, another one came. Wow. I wasn't so freaked out this time. I prayed again, and Azrael came and went the other way. Well, then Azrael came to me and said, explained to me that I have been given an opportunity to help those cross the other side. I don't do it myself. My understanding is my light is a beacon, and spirits are attracted to it in a big way. And these are spirits that have just died suddenly. So car crashes, accidents, you know, freak things.
So the early, the quick departed.
Quick
so
departed, yes.
The ones who just were kind of lost. Yeah. They're like, ooh.
And like, they find me. And for the first, I don't know, longest time, I would speak to every one of them. Okay. I felt obligated to talk to every one of them. And then since I've been back from Mexico and things have changed so much for me now, when I feel their presence, all I do is say a prayer to Azrael. And I say, I have a spirit here that needs your guidance, please, and thank you for hearing my prayer. And that's all I need to do.
So now that we're in the corona pandemic, and I mean, there's things still happening, car crashes and stuff, but do you pick up on people who are transitioning?
I don't. In the beginning, I cared about where they were coming from or what. There was one day, I can tell when they're children. I don't know how. I just know the difference between an adult and a child. And there was one day I got like 12 children back to back, literally back to back. And was told later it was a school bus accident.
Oh, wow.
And so that's.
Is there any way to confirm these things? I mean.
Probably. But it's kind of interesting that you say that because I've been given the gift of premonition as well. And only that's new to me, so I haven't gotten into that.
Okay.
But the first time it came, I was. Early morning, I was not awake yet, end of a dream, and I could see a fissure in the earth, and it was being packed by hands, almost looking like you were looking at clay, not so much the real thing, all these earth tone colors being packed and packed and packed, and I started drawing away, and all of a sudden it just exploded, and the fissure grew, and everything was spewing out of it, and when it was done, one of my archangels asked me, you know, what did you see? And I said, it's an earthquake. And I get things, they come, like if I'm talking to a spirit or I'm talking to somebody and I want to know your name, before I even have a chance to ask you and you tell me, it comes.
Okay.
I don't explain it. I don't try anymore. It just happens. So that day I was like, it's an earthquake. And as soon as I said that, I got two more words came to me. One was China and one was premonition. And I'm like, well, you know, this is mid-morning. And I was like, I need to sleep. Let me finish sleeping. I sleep during the day, not during the night. And so I went back to sleep. And the next, when I woke up that morning, I believe it was Archangel Michael. And he was like, go ahead. I'm like, what? He says, I know your curiosity. Go ahead. And I reached over immediately and grabbed my phone. And I'm like, earthquake, China, today. Nothing. Earthquake, China, 2020. 2 days before.
Wow.
And so basically what that was an introduction to me to what it was going to be like so that I could make the choice if I wanted to accept the responsibility.
I apologize, though. We have some distractions here. This is normal life here.
That's all right. It's a dog's world. But yeah, so I was given the choice. It's, you know, do you want to accept the responsibility or not? Because part of it is when you receive that kind of stuff, you have to learn to discern it. If it's something you can share, if it's something you can't share, and if something that you can't do anything about. And that's what that lesson was what could you have done? If you had known 2 days before, what could you have done? I said, absolutely nothing. Who could you have told? Nobody.
Yeah.
And so I have to learn to differentiate and discern the differences between what I can and I can't. It took me 3 days to decide whether I was going to choose that responsibility. And when they asked me why, I said, I'm afraid. Afraid of what? I said, well, I'm afraid of making the wrong choice. What if you give me a premonition and I choose to tell somebody and I shouldn't? And they were like, we wouldn't give you the responsibility if you weren't capable of listening to your intuition and knowing that. So I took it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a different world for me. I don't work. Mm-hmm. I'm just starting to work in the human world, as I put it, here. So I'm interested to see how it's all going to tie together.
Well, you know, it takes time, especially when you get this new information coming into your body, coming into your mind.
Yeah.
And then you have to put it up against all the things that you used to know. And all the things that you work from a different paradigm, a different perception.
Different wavelength, different level.
Well, that's a good point you say wavelength, because wavelengths are important, because most of us work in certain frequencies. We have our two frequencies, our mental frequency, which is our physical, and our spiritual frequency. And, you know, just a slight touch can connect us into certain frequencies with certain, you know, communication.
That's where I'm at right now. I'm in the middle of an ascension, and when it's done, I've got a whole nother frequency open, if that's how you want to look at it. I used to say, I used to put a cap on where my frequencies were. I don't anymore. It's just an open hand. I'm like, you know, someone may vibrate down here. I said, I vibrate up here, and there's no longer a cap on mine.
You know, like I always tell people, when people who ask me about the metaphysical universe and how everything works, I talk about radio stations. That's a very good, that's in shamanic practice. I will talk about, some of you listen to 97.1 and some of you listen to 97.9, and they're completely two different genres of music. I mean, and they instill in you different feelings and emotions. And so, you know, one's pop and hip hop and dancing, and gives you a little bit, the other one's a little more, but 97.1 is actually sports.
Which is what I don't listen to.
So, but that's kind of an example. I mean, we have a whole array of communications. All you have to do is turn the dial just a little bit.
The time. Mine started out with crystals.
Okay.
I started out, that was my first introduction to frequencies and raising. I had I call it my apophyllite high. I was handing a apophyllite geode, which is a crystal that really opens up your communication to the higher self. And I was permanently high. That was like a permanent raising of my vibration, and that's where it started. So,
Interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, so today we're talking with my friend Krista here, and we're kind of just getting a feel for her new, well, they're not really new gifts. They're the gifts that she's unlocking, that she's had. And a lot of you are probably going through similar actions right now. You're going through similar things where you're feeling a certain way. You can't explain something. You're hearing voices. You're feeling communications that you never heard of. You're feeling touch. These are normal things, especially when you're in an awakening scenario, when you're in a situation where it's kind of a forced situation. They put you in a situation where you have to listen to the voices in your own head. And sometimes those voices aren't all yours.
No. And it's funny, as I had to realize that. I've been hearing the voices my whole life. I just never realized that's what I was listening to. Archangel Michael has been my guardian my whole life, because I've had a rough life. I've made a lot of choices and done a lot of things. And he recently told me, he says, I've always appreciated you. You're one of my favorites. I said, why? He says, because no matter what situation you were in, what situation you put yourself in, whatever it was, you've always listened.
Good.
He says, you always took my advice, even though you didn't realize that the little voice you were hearing in your head was mine.
Nice.
So I made my choice when I was 3 years old. Mother Earth came to me, and what I thought was a dream turned out was my first vision. And she gave me a choice. I could walk this path, which would be a normal life, or I could walk this path, which was going to be hard, a lot of lessons, but it was going to be worth it. And here I am.
Yeah, life is funny. You never know where you're going, whose living room you're going to end up in,
whose table I'm going to be sitting at.
You know, that's the cool thing about life. You just go with it, flow with it.
And I do. I do now. That's the best part of it.
So, for those of you who want to learn how to communicate with your spirits, your guides, you can contact me. I'm not sure if you feel comfortable doing that yet, but
people can reach out to me. I don't have websites yet. I don't have anything set up, but I'm always on Facebook. You can find me. People find me.
Yeah, just let the smoke.
People find me.
Follow the smoke.
They seek me out. I have a psychic friend who said to me one time, she says, they're going to be attracted to your light no mm-hmm. matter where you go. Mm-hmm. They're going to find you.
Yeah.
They're going to seek you out. Mm-hmm. Recently with social media, I have perfect strangers seek me out because they're in a dark place.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm ready for it. I've been dealing with the spirit world and I've been dealing with the other side for months now. It's like, now it's time for me to branch
love
into the human
love
world.
Love and light and shadows, right?
Yes.
That was my
yes,
post today. Love,
yes. Yes. Yeah, I didn't even realize shadows. How appropriate that was going to be. Yeah, but yeah,
and
so
it's
now
good to be here.
Yes, it is. Always good to be here. But
you
now
know,
it's
yeah.
my turn to start into the human world.
Good.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't like their shadows.
I love mine.
But you need shadows because they're cast when the light is bright. There's shadows. They start to show.
Yeah.
Like fear on the wall. See?
Yeah. Hello.
But anyhow, it's important to understand that your pieces and parts of you we can't just cut one off because
no.
we don't like it. And so many people who walk into this new awakening sometimes are in this natural high of being like so
yeah.
up that
they don't understand.
Yeah.
What it is they're feeling or why,
mm-hmm.
and then they don't know what to do with it.
Well, yes, that's true. Then what happens is then they go to their family. I see this all the time. Oh my God, I am like so awake, blah, blah, blah. And the family's like, the fuck's up with you? You know?
Yeah,
and that's...
And
they're the ones that bring you right back to your shadow.
You get that look of, I'm going to lock you up and throw away the key.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen
you
it.
Know?
I've seen family members threaten their spouses to do that
yeah.
because they were really concerned about it.
Yeah.
You know,
I've been lucky. Mine have not threatened so much, but we're so distant now
mm-hmm.
that I don't even know if I could bring them back into my world.
It's because people don't, when you start to vibrate and resonate in that energy, when you start to go to that place, you're the same person, but you're
yes.
not at the same
yes.
time. It's like really interesting. It's like an oxymoron almost.
And one of a friend said the other day that you're rocking their beliefs.
Yeah.
They're not ready to let go of their beliefs yet. And if
yeah.
they can't let go of their beliefs, then they can't believe in you.
Yeah, you know, a lot, and it's about them. Not,
oh, yeah.
It's not about you.
Nope,
it's always about them because, you know what? It's their judgment, their projection on you.
And you know what I say about that? That's their issue, not mine.
That's right. And it usually is.
It is. I can't live. And that's part of my problem is I can't live in that world anymore where I'm being judged for every little thing that I do. I can't live in that mm-hmm. world where I'm a disappointment because I'm not what you thought I should be.
Yeah. And you know, people are going to do whatever they want to do anyhow.
Oh, yeah.
And so you either
they're
have to
think
be,
about me, whatever they want to think.
You
they're going to
say
about
me.
You got to
be on board, right?
You know?
You have to be able to navigate that.
This is the first time I've talked about a lot about what I just said to you tonight. I've okay. not told a lot of people about my spirit work and things mm-hmm. that I do
well,
because...
You see how that works.
Most people don't understand.
These people understand.
I know.
This group here.
I know.
These folks who pop in, they get it. They
I
have
know.
An idea
they,
what we're
they
doing.
They get it. And I'm learning I'm not alone.
Sure. And you know, and I'm learning too, because you know what? I don't do all of those works that you talk about. I do similar work.
And that's what I love about mm-hmm. this world, that this metaphysical, holistic world is we're the same, but we're not. We're cut from the same cloth,
yeah.
but we're mm-hmm. not the same piece,
mm-hmm.
but we all fit together.
Yeah. I'm not Iggy Garcia, the mini mart store guy of holistic healing. I have a little bit of everything in my case. But you know what? That's why I defer things to my friends, you know?
Yeah.
I have my one friend, Laura, I interviewed her, you know? And then somebody asked about her, and now she asked me if I knew somebody who did this.
Yeah.
And you know, this chain, this connection starts to roll, and this little train starts to move. Because it's a community.
It is.
It's a community of like-minded people, heartfelt people
yes.
who want to do something
it's
different.
It's a community of love.
Yes. It's
it is, because without the, that's where we all resonate from.
Yeah. And you know what? And I'm going to say this, even though unconditional love is very hard for some people to work at, it's still love, though.
Yeah.
Love is, even if you give love and it's,
yeah.
you know, it's not that you're conditioning, it's that you're still learning how to give it.
But it is conditioning in a way.
You know, because unconditional, when you're giving it in a way without anything back,
yes.
a lot of people who come into this community are learning how to say, hey, I'm going to do. Like for me, I don't care. You don't want to come to me? If you come to me one time, that's fine. If you don't want to
come
back, to me, you know, it's not that.
But see,
I still love you, though.
I came into this world
I still care.
With no love
yeah.
and no worth of myself.
But I was the same way.
And so once I that's what I had to find first.
Yeah.
So I had to get rid of everyone else's baggage. I've been an empath my whole life,
mm-hmm.
and I had to get rid of all of that Once I got rid of all of that, then I could work on my own baggage. And once I got rid of that, then mm-hmm. I was able to fill my heart, fill the space.
Because as soon as you say unconditional love, people get freaked out. You know, not everybody, but people.
Well, it's that word unconditional.
It's the unconditional part.
Like, because it's ingrained in us from the day we're born that everything has a condition.
Yes.
You can't give without taking.
Yeah, like my dog is unconditional love. She's going to jump on you regardless.
Yes. Yes, she is.
She's going to love you regardless.
And I have one that's the same way. Yeah. All she wants to do is walk right up to perfect strangers and roll up on her back and give you the belly. Mm-hmm. And people are like, so what's that mean? I'm like, well, that's the most submissive position a dog can give is their underside. There's mm-hmm. no protection. She's so full of unconditional love that that's all she wants to give.
Right.
And I said, and I love this world because everyone I meet now in my family, in my life, we all resonate that way. Some of us know more than others, mm-hmm. but that's because we're all on a different path. We're not on the same place, you know, timeline-wise. Mm-hmm. But what I like is the learning. I love the sharing of the experiences, the sharing of the knowledge. You know, I meet new people, and these people I've met in these last couple of months. I'm like, oh, you do what? Oh, I got to find out about that. Oh, you're into this? Oh, I know, and I want to know more about that. And then becomes some people are like, oh, man, I wish I could do what you did. You know, I have friends that are like, well, I wish I had the connection to the angels that you have. I said, yeah, but I wish I could see the things that you see.
This is true. Everybody has their own.
We all have our own gifts. And I think what we're learning as a holistic metaphysical community is our pieces mm-hmm. make up a really big puzzle.
Oh, yeah. We're like part of the jigsaw puzzle.
We can't see the picture yet.
So are you in the middle or in the corner?
Yeah, I have still put my own together, and I can't. It's going to be really cool when it's done. Now, I like to be in the middle.
I like the middles, too.
I like the middle.
Like in the pizza, I like to eat the middle part of the pizza. Yeah, I'm not a corner guy.
I like the corners. I'm a Capricorn, after all.
Yeah.
So I have to have, the structure. I'm a perfectionist, so I always start with the outer edges and the corners. But my favorite work of the puzzle is the end pieces, the pieces in the solid blues, or the ones that take you the longest time to put together. That's my favorite part of the puzzle, is that end area that no one wants to work on.
Yeah.
No one wants to play in, no one wants to work in. That's what I love to do.
So I'm here with Krista Humphreys. If you guys are just tuning into the show, this is with insightsradio.com. You can check that out on our website, or you go to iggygarcia.com and check me out personally. But this is Iggy Garcia Live, and I'm here with my friend, and we're sharing. We're kind of having we're just chatting and talking, you know.
Yeah.
I think she was nervous in the beginning, but I think she's fine now. She's fine now. She's fine now.
I tell people, I said, I'm never nervous in front of people. And they're like, why? I said, I worked at COSI. Okay, not the new COSI, the old COSI.
Yeah, I remember the old COSI.
I was 14. I did this for 2 years.
The Hall of Presidents, right?
I actually worked I worked the first floor science level.
Oh, okay, cool.
So if anybody remembers old COSI, mm-hmm. you remember the coal mine tours?
Yes, I remember that.
All right, imagine being a 14-year-old kid giving a coal mine tour that's totally fake to a bunch of Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts. You know, if you can do that, you can talk to anybody.
They're ornery.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Old COSI, I remember that.
Yeah,
I
love
it. You know, the new COSI doesn't have the Hall of Presidents.
The new COSI doesn't have a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
I haven't been able to go.
In Hayden used to work there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
I love the old COSI.
I love the old COSI. That was nice. It was smaller, I think.
Yes, much.
And yet,
packed.
Yeah, it was all packed in there.
Yeah, I used to play. I get to play with the science floor. Was great because we got to play with the electrostatic generator on the big ball and stands. But we used to also get to play with liquid nitrogen.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Because that was one of the things part of our science show was to freeze things.
Okay.
We would bring stuff from home
and
freeze, just play with it all day long, just to see what would happen to it. And that was a lot of fun.
You know what's funny? My favorite part of COSI was the pendulum in the front.
Yes.
I was just so fascinated by that pendulum.
Yes.
I just look up and go, how's that work?
Yeah, and what people don't realize is one person had to set every one of those pegs up.
Really?
Yeah. Now, see, I was a third floor, which was where the animals were.
Yeah, but I love that.
Yeah, I always wanted to be up. They put me on the science floor for whatever reason. I never understood that. But it was great. I loved the experience. But they'd always catch me on the third floor playing with the animals.
That's nice.
Yeah, I would always have my hands in the snakes. And,
I like the, where was it? They had a little container where they had all the compost in it, and they had pressed it down to make oil.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
The second floor was great because they had these Streets of Yesteryear.
Yeah, I love
the
Streets of Yesteryear.
Where you would go through and you make paper and do all of that stuff. Yeah.
They don't have that in the new COSI, no?
I don't think they have anything in Nuka.
I don't know what's at the Nuka site.
We'll have to go sometime.
Not to knock it, you know, just,
no.
I don't know what's going on.
I went once after it opened, and it was disheartening for me to see that everything I had grown up in was buried and put in the corners.
Yeah.
And it just was like, I never went back.
There's two facts about Kosai that you probably don't know. I was in the movie Teachers.
I remember Teachers. It was filmed there.
I was in that movie.
Teachers.
I'm in the movie.
Yeah.
Number two, the parking lot there, my company actually tore down all the shrubs and the small trees to make it ready for parking.
Yeah.
This is a long time ago.
Yeah.
But those are two facts. Those are two historical facts.
Yeah, I was actually in, you know, back in the day, they used to allow the schools and kids and the groups to spend the night in Kosai.
Yeah, I remember
So you would actually be able to spend on the different floors and you could stay and sleep over. And then, so I was actually in the last group that spent the night in Kosai for before they started shipping us out. They would literally put you on a bus and take you someplace else and let you stay. So I was in one of the last groups the last group that stayed in Kosai for the last time. And also, I got the enjoyment when I worked there for 2 years of being involved in working with all those students and doing all the stuff that I enjoyed doing as a kid.
Nice.
So caterpillars and they give you caterpillars to go home and have your monarchs or your
tadpoles. Little box, you take them home.
Get the little tadpoles and watch them turn into
frogs.
Bag,
yeah.
I used to get to do that, so I got to enjoy spending the time not only as a kid doing all of that, but then as an adult, I got to do all that too. 14 to 16, that's pretty grown up to do that for 2 years. But I got to do that as well, so I would travel with them when we would go spend the night. My favorite part though was always the movies. They always showed scary movies to the groups when they would stay. I don't know why, but there was something about
it. Well, it was camping though, right?
Yeah, it was like camping. So they would show old horror flicks, and I can remember one time they did House of Wax, which was Vincent Price's House of Wax.
Remember that movie.
And every time his face would come on the screen, the whole entire auditorium would just scream and shout. And I'm in the back going, shh, I can't hear the movie. Because anybody who follows me on Facebook knows I post two or three times a week are my classic movie choices for the night.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember.
I gave you one. Yours was the other night. The 2001
Space Odyssey. Yeah, well, how appropriate is that? Huh?
Yeah, well, we're not going to talk about that tonight.
Yeah.
I have inside information.
But anyhow, we went on a little tangent there, which is okay. That's all right. So now we're moving into a new evolution. I want to call it evolution because I believe it's an evolution. I think humanity is evolving. I believe, I don't want to call it force evolution, but it's an evolution. Regardless.
It's been coming now.
Yeah.
With each generation, we talked not too long about this town hall and stuff, with each new generation, how they've changed.
Yeah.
We talked about how you and I, our age, we have to work our butts off to get the information that we get.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you have somebody who's in their 20s, they get a download and they're like, oh, cool, let's go with
it. It's like, hey, we're here.
You know, I get downloads all the time.
I'm like, hold on.
And I'm like, is that for now or later?
Yeah.
You know, is that future? I get a lot of my downloads in there for the future. And it's kind of like I have to like just let it be because I can't process that.
So what
right
do you,
now.
What do you see going into just the next 6 months, let alone the next month?
There's a storm coming.
Okay.
I don't know how else to put it. I mentioned to a friend the other day, I kind of got a little freaked out. I said, I saw a storm on my path.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I got really nervous about it. I said, because I'm not in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am, but physically I'm not. I'm not in a financial situation. I'm not in a living situation that's good for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm not ready to have to deal with the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And someone spoke to me and said, it's not your storm.
Mm-hmm.
It's our storm as a collective.
Yes.
And it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be ugly.
Yeah, because right now the collective is kind of split.
And we're not just split in half. That's the sad thing. We're really split.
Splintered all over.
Yeah, splintered is, I think, a better word for it. But what's going to happen is, when it comes, a lot of us are going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to vibrate a lot higher when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a lot of people with us.
Yeah.
As many as I'm, that's how I see it. I fly and soar with the eagles is my thought process, and
I'm going to be going up and I'm taking as many people along with me as I can. And they're not going to go as high as I can. And that's fine. Wherever I drop you off along the way is great.
Okay.
And we're all going to have to do our part.
Yeah.
Because the unfortunate part is that, you know, some are going to stay the same. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that I feel the most for. Because they have such an opportunity in front of them. Because we're all presented with this right now.
Yeah, it's raw right now.
It's all of us. It's not one person. It's not one group. It's not one collective. It's the collective means every soul on this earth has this opportunity. From the smallest of the babies to the oldest of humanity. We all have this opportunity. Mm-hmm. And most of us are going to grab and run with it. Mm-hmm. Some of us have no idea where we're running to because they have no idea what they're feeling. But others are going to be like, and they're going to go back to normal. And then there's those, the others. Mm-hmm. That's the ones that I'm just like, we can't have light without dark.
Yeah. Well, so, when you go one way to the other, it always is an equal balance. Always,
yeah, there has to be.
There has to be, yes. And that's a universal law.
But it's that balance is, the scales is what's changing.
Well, I'm going to tell you something.
Please.
If you go back to the life that you choose, you may be going back to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You may want things to be back the way they were, but there's nothing there to go back to.
There's nothing there to go back to.
Okay, so you may want to stay the same, but that other significant other or whoever, you're going to turn around and go, hey, why, you know?
Who are you?
Where are you?
Yeah, where'd you go?
Like, they might not even physically be there.
Yeah.
Let alone mentally. This is what's going to be the hard part that I see coming. This is my prediction, is the people who want to stay in the old energy are going to have a rude awakening. And the rude awakening is not because they want to control their life. It's because what they thought was in control was never in control.
No.
Okay. So when they step back and they go, well, all right, we're going to do, where's everybody at? I'm alone.
Yeah.
So you're forced to change. You're going to change. So everybody's changing. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you tell me. I don't want to hear any political correctness crap, because you know what? It's going to change.
Well,
it's just going
Mother Earth is not going to give us a choice.
Yeah. You know, and I told you, everybody, and I say, you know, my chief told me, he goes, Mother Earth does not discriminate.
No, she does not play favorites.
And right now we're in the process of natural selection. And natural selection is not a bad word.
No.
Okay, because natural selection also means some of us will evolve a certain way. Others will totally just fall away. Some of us will die.
Before we were ever in existence as humans, there was natural selection. Yes. Hello, dinosaurs. You go back long before us, there's always been natural selection.
So those are my feelings of what's going to happen here in the next six months. So all the things that you were really close to or attached to may or may not be there.
Yeah. I think that's why I'm kind of happy where I'm at.
Yeah. And you know what? And I still have a lot of surprises to come my way.
Oh, yes, you do.
You know, and believe it or not, I'm going to state that here on the air.
You do.
That there's a lot of
unseen
things to coming my direction. You do.
Yep.
And she's laughing.
Because I know.
You know, but she's privy to the information, but I'm not. I'm just.
Well, we all are in our own ways.
But that's what I feel.
And
it kind of goes along with
what you're saying. You know, I have doors that are opening up to me right now that I never thought would. I have an opportunity to do something that it was just happened overnight. And I'm like, well, you know, there's one thing I've learned is to follow my intuition. If my intuition tells me it's a good thing, I go.
Mm-hmm.
If my intuition says, you might want to stop and think about that, then I'm going to stop and think about it. That's something I think we all need to learn to do is to listen to that, your intuitive self, because your intuitive self knows.
Oh, yeah.
It knows more than we do.
Well, I call it the big smack, which is going to come.
Well, I call it the rude awakening. Okay. You know that.
The big smack and the rude awakening is coming.
Yeah, it's coming.
And you know what? And I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be scared.
No.
Because it's not that way. It's just things are going to be a lot different. You're going to approach things a lot different. You're going to walk differently.
You're going to see things different. You're going to hear things different. Everything's going to taste different. And when we come out of all of this, this isolation, quarantine, call it whatever you want to call it. I've seen where it's been great for families and not great for families.
Right.
You know, and that's the dynamic that's shifting is within your own little village isn't going to be the same anymore. But at the same time, look at the village that you've made.
Oh, yeah.
The new circle of friends, the new family, the new whatever. That's where the change is coming. And what's going to come of that? Going to be a lot of divorces.
Yeah.
Going to be a lot of marriages. Mm-hmm. Going to be a lot of new friends, new families. Mm-hmm. A lot of families going to part ways. It's just going to be how it is.
A lot of babies, maybe.
Oh, yeah. There are going to be a lot of babies.
So if you remember, a while before the pandemic started, yeah. I started saying hashtag vision 2020.
Yes.
You know, because the vision was going to be open. And I didn't know why that came about and why I was thinking that and why I wrote that down. I'm not the one who coined it, but
no,
at the same time,
it was important.
It was just like something that I said and then saw someone else have it and it just kind of moved around. I'm going, so what's that? What is that? You know? And you know what? Boom, here it is.
Yeah.
You know, the third eye opening
our
up.
Our third eye. Big time.
And I'm thinking, wow. And that's why I put the little cucumber picture on there because I got to get my third eye. Give it a little
break. My third eye's been working a lot lately. Yeah. So, yeah. But for me, I'm worried about Mother Earth herself. Everything that we've seen happen mm-hmm. as a result of the quarantines, the isolations, what's happened with our wildlife. I mean, look at look at Los Angeles, look at Mount Everest, look at the things you can see and feel mm-hmm. and hear and touch now that you've never been able to. Look at the turtles, the coral reefs, everything that's happened, and we're going to go back to normal.
The Himalayas too.
Right? All of it.
Yeah, people can actually can see them.
Yeah, I mean, things that you've never been able to see before. Even in my little corner of the world, on mm-hmm. northeast side of Columbus, I go to bed every morning about between 5 and 6. I open the windows and I listen to the birds. Mm-hmm. I've never heard them like this, ever. And this quantity and this sound. I mean, I go to the parks and I see animals loose, running. I see things in the sky. I saw an eagle in my neck of the woods. I've never seen one of that size in my neck of the woods before. That's what I'm afraid of, going back to normal. I don't want to lose all that. What's going to happen when Yosemite Park opens back up? Those animals have had free reign this whole time, and we're going to open the wall back up to them, and we're just going to invade their territory again. They're not going to be too happy.
Yeah, I think they walked into spaces going...
Well, like they say, they look into the windows going, hey, humans, how are you? We haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, they're looking at us now. They're looking at us.
But, I mean, what's going to happen when the doors are open fully and everybody's back to normal, so to speak?
Well, there is no normal.
No.
What is it? 2020 is the new normal?
Yeah, but the cars are going to be back out.
Yeah.
The traffic's going to be back.
I believe that.
That's, you know.
But, you know, maybe that was the break Mother Earth needed. Maybe that was the little cleanse that she needed. Kind of like putting on a mask on your face and getting all the pores cleaned off.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what she needed, you know?
Yeah, she needed time to bring back.
And you know, they did. I saw some scientists say that they were going to probably... It'll come back eventually, but not as quickly as we think it's going to. But it will come back.
It will come back if we don't make the changes.
Now, the question is, are we going to make the changes? And I do believe, you know, Mother Earth puts out her little warriors out there, like, to cleanse and clear the earth of things that don't need to be there anymore. But, that's where we're at. And so Lulu is telling me that it's 2 minutes to the end of the show.
It's time, Lulu.
She's got an internal clock in her head. And she knows we're not doing a town hall today. But...
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it another time.
Yeah. But, so now that our time's winding down, because Lulu's letting you know. Closing thoughts. What would you like to leave with our listeners?
Have faith. Okay. Trust. Believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, the most important thing I can think of, is because that's one of the things we lose. And I don't mean beliefs in whatever your religion is, however you think about it, but just believe in yourself, trust in yourself, and do for yourself. No one understands that we have to put ourselves first. No one else is going to. You have to take care of yourself. You have to, because if you can't take care of yourself, if you can't love yourself, you can't expect anyone else to do it for you.
Right.
And if we love ourselves, then we'll start loving each other, and then it will just spread like a virus.
Wildfire.
It'll spread. I mean, it'll spread if we, you know,
good.
Just peace, love, and light. believe in yourselves, trust yourselves, trust your intuition. Good. And just make this place a better world for all of us. Mm-hmm. Not just yourself.
That's right, Lou, right?
All of us.
She liked the show. She wants to be interviewed next week.
I'll watch that. I'll watch that.
So yeah. I hope that you enjoyed our time together here and got to, if you missed the show, just go back and play it back. So we just kind of covered a little bit about what's on our mind, what we're feeling, what is awakening inside of us, what's happening. And so all I can do is encourage everybody just to go out there and do the best you can.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get it right all the time. Nope. I definitely don't get it right all the time.
I know I don't.
You know, my daughter actually corrected me today in a nice polite about something I posted, because I wasn't angry. I was just feeling the moment. I was feeling the energies that are out there, you know, because I'm connected to all of it.
Oh, yeah.
All my relations, you know, we're part of the whole soup, you know. We're not these individual people who are living on these little islands.
No, we're a collective.
I feel her. I feel the dog. I feel this person, you know. And I also feel my brothers and sisters who are not in alignment with me. Their energy, it moves through me and courses through me because they are a part of me.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel that energy. And sometimes I have to go down that road just to kind of snap myself back into the game. And you know what? And I'm okay with that. And you know, Chris, I'm the first person to tell you, when I'm done fucked up, I'll be the first one.
You're going to be the first one to tell me. I know.
Right? Because I take accountability for things. And then when I believe in something too, I stand by it. Until somebody shows me a different picture, a different view of what maybe to look at something a different way. And my daughter did that today. And my daughter, Markel, and I want to thank you, Markel, for that. Because you know what? It put me in a different frame of mind. And that's all I needed. I just need that little shift.
You need a different perspective.
It's like turning that little knob I was talking about earlier. And just need it.
Yeah.
And it did. And it worked.
That's what I love about this metaphysical, holistic world that we live in. Is we all have a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And we love to share it.
Mm-hmm.
My perspective, your perspective, their perspective, it's all different.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's the same, crosses the same lines, but we share our perspectives. And when we do that, we learn from each other, and we also can see things from a different point of view.
Oh, absolutely.
Someone else's shoes, barefoot or not, you know. But yeah, that's what I love about it, and I don't want that to stop.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're wrapping it up here. I want to say ho'oponopono. It's good to be here. Matakuyasin. Namaste, irisikwi, and all the things that you are aligned with and all the things that you are in connection with spirit, great spirit, God, universe, whatever that is. If it's nothing, then that's fine. It's nothing. But either way, I just want you to go out there and just do the best you can and understand that some other people are trying to do the best they can with the tools that they have. And sometimes they don't have all the toolbox that maybe you have in your toolbox. Okay, they don't have all the tools, okay? So let's be patient, and that includes me too. Includes Krista, everybody who's listening, everybody who's tuned in. Let's just be patient with one another, because right now we're all in this together. And someone tried to tell me that we're not in it together. Oh, no.
Yeah, right.
We're all in this together.
We're all in this together.
Yeah, we're in the soup together. And we'll be in the soup as long as this earth is keeps spinning.
Yes.
Okay, so from that, I guess that's it. We're going to wrap it up tonight. Hopefully you enjoyed everything. And you can check me out at iggygarcia.com. And Krista will try to get me to drum tomorrow.
I will be knocking on your door if you're not awake for this one.
So we'll be drumming tomorrow.
All right.
Other than that,
thank
you
guys.
Peace, love, and light. Take care. Peace and love. We'll see you soon.
Yes.
All right.
What are you chewing on?